Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And as usual, the help we get from ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive will keep it running for sure. Good morning. Hi, Dan. Good to see you again.
Good morning.
We missed you last week. We had the chance to work with our friend Nick.
Oh, yeah. Back to the 50s. I was in town and I actually listened. So it was,
you actually
it was
did.
Fun. Yeah. I told him I have heard him, but not much. And so it was fun to listen to the whole show.
I remember you and I have done this show from the fair. I remember one year when it was about a million degrees, and we were in a trail, like a, what do you call those? A trailer.
A trailer. Yeah.
With no AC.
A streamline.
Yes. Yeah, those real nice.
Right. Yeah,
but there was no AC in it. It was kind of crazy.
That was actually a Back to the. That wasn't the fair. That was Back to the 50s.
It was indeed. But we had beautiful cars. It was fun to watch, to take a look at, and big crowds. I had no idea it was that popular. I mean, I had some idea, but it was almost, when I left to come back here, it was almost as busy as the state fair. I mean, with the traffic coming in, huge.
And of course, everybody that's there has a car.
That's true.
I mean, that's what the show is. So it's all of that traffic plus all of us that are out there
to see
right.
it.
That's right. So it does make for a big crowd, that's for sure.
It's a good time. If you have any kind of a car, truck, van issue, and you have to bring it into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, you want to get some advice from Dan, call us or text us. It's the same number, by the way, 651-989-9226. Text again, 651-989-9226. And keep in mind, Dan will be here for about another half hour until Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. So don't wait. If you have a question, by all means, call Dan or send Dan a text, and we'll help you out. Again, the same number. So call it in or text it in. I'm going to check out a text that came in early today, Dan. It's about timing belts.
Oh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Let me kind of go through it here. Texas says the average from the manufacturer, the average lifespan they say of a timing belt is between 60,000 and 105,000 miles, or after 7 to 10 years, regardless of mileage. Now, this texter says he or she does not drive that much. They say, I'm barely driving 1,000 miles a year. I hit 25,000 miles this year. By the way, it's a Hyundai Sonata, a 2011 that he or she purchased in 2010. What do you think the story is? If somebody doesn't drive that much and they're looking in the book and it says, hey, at 30,000 miles, you got to change your timing belt, and you've only got not even that on it.
Well, I'm more concerned with the mileage, but the texture is right in that age is hard on rubber, and you know, timing belts, of course, are a drive belt. So one thing that I recommend, and one thing that I do when I'm checking cars, is I keep an eye on the serpentine belt, which you can actually see.
And what does that do?
Well, they're the same time. The serpentine belt is the one that drives all of the external components, the alternator and the air conditioning compressor and the drive belt, you know, that we're all used to seeing. And it's spinning out on the very front of the engine, and you can actually see that one. And so if you keep, you know, and they're both the same age, they've got the same mileage on them. And so I keep an eye on the serpentine belt. If I start to see some cracks in the serpentine belt due to age, then it's also time to do the timing.
Uh-huh.
So
I think
that's one of the things that you can watch. But they're right. Time is hard on it. But for me, mileage is more important.
More important.
So
than
I would
time.
Maybe in that case, split the difference, you know, something like that. Let the time go a little longer, but certainly do it long before.
But don't ignore it.
Don't ignore it. Do it long before you get to 100,000 miles, because you'll never get to 100,000 miles, and it probably needs to be changed.
I think with the time years ago, I had an older vehicle, and I was on 494. In fact, I was heading here, I think, and all of a sudden, the power steering. I had no power steering, and I had to pull off to the side, and I think that's what you told me. Does that also drive that,
That's too? The serpentine belt.
There you go.
That's the one I'm talking about. So,
It's called get a toe to dance.
Yeah. Well, actually, a lot of times a lot of times you could drive it if it doesn't drive the water pump. But you know, the downside of putting it off is a bummer because on many cars nowadays we call them interference motors. The piston will actually come up if the timing belt breaks.
Yeah.
Then of course the timing between the engine and the cylinder head is going to be wrong, and in many cases the piston will come up and make contact with the valves and bend the valves, and then in essence you've ruined the engine.
That's it.
Or at least you've done some very expensive damage to the engine. So while replacing a timing belt is expensive, it's not as nearly as expensive as not changing
the alternative.
Yeah.
So. All right. 651-989-9226. Thank you, Texter. Let's go to the phones. Bruce is calling, I believe, from Bloomington. Bruce, you're on with Dan. Good morning.
Well, good morning. See, Dan, I've got a problem that happened all of a sudden on my 2011 Hyundai Genesis Coupe. I got in the car, wanted to hear the end of the Twins game, and there was just a tremendous amount of static. And so I pushed the selector button for the radio, and the XM radio commercial came on, and that was the only audio I could get. I pushed the radio button and nothing, and I tried to push the setup button, and well, anyway, so it sounds like the radio system and the sound system on the car is fouled up. So later on, I hit the reset, use the reset on the audio, and the list of channels came up on the screen, but there was no audio.
All right, let's see what Dan. That's a tough one.
Well, I'm concerned that it's the radio itself.
Yeah.
My first thought was that the antenna for AM radio, especially, and the XM satellite radio, are two different things, and I think they are. And if that's the case, you could have an antenna problem. But the fact that you get no audio at all, especially in FM, you know, FM will come in most of the time without an antenna at all. So I'm concerned that the problem is actually in the radio itself. And on that Genesis, I have an idea that's a really big deal. So sorry to tell you that, but I think that you're going to find that something has gone amiss in that radio system, and it's going to need some significant attention.
So bring it in.
Bring it in, yep.
And good luck.
Good luck, yeah, sorry. Save
sorry,
up.
Bruce. I think you're right about the antenna, though. It's a separate issue with satellite.
Right.
All right, thanks, Bruce. Dwayne is calling from Amory, Wisconsin this morning with a question. Go ahead, Dwayne. Thank you. You're on CCO.
Yeah, I've got a 2004 Dodge Durango. And it's got a brand-new battery, probably, I think it was about August. If that vehicle is not started every day, it has to be jumped or put on a battery charger.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't figure out what, you know, and it starts real quick then.
Yeah. Well, we, I certainly have a test for that. We deal with that all the time. First thing I would do, though, is be sure that you got a good battery. Because if you got a battery that a defective battery, which you know happens from time to time, that certainly would cause your problem. And one of the things that you would do is put a battery charger on it, get the battery fully charged in your opinion, and then take it in and have it load tested. And any shop in town would be able to quickly do that and gladly do that for you, and tell you the condition of the battery. If at that point the battery tests good, then what's happening is when you're parking the car, everything is supposed to turn off. All the computers and everything are supposed to time out over a period of time. And then all of the draws are supposed to go away. And if they do not, then, of course, as the car sits overnight, it continues to draw the battery down to the point where the battery goes dead. We have a test for that. It's an inline test. We can measure how many amps are coming out of the battery when the car is sitting, and it should be very near zero. It should be almost nothing coming out of the battery when the car is sitting, and if that's not happening, then what we do is start isolating circuits by pulling fuses one at a time and decide, and when you pull out the right fuse, the draw will go away. We'll know that, and then now we can start our investigative work. What components are on that circuit, and then zero in on what might be staying on, causing the trouble. For example, I mean, common things that we find, well, first of all, an interior light.
Mm-hmm.
You've left an interior light on somewhere that you're not aware of. You know, the trunk lid isn't closing tight, or and a trunk light stays on, or a glove box light is staying on, things like that. But more complicated things would be like if a computer system that is supposed to shut down and the computer is not shutting down, then it gets pretty complicated. But at any rate, that's the process. That's what we do. And it sounds like that's maybe what you have going on.
All right. There you go, Duane. We have to take a quick break. We have more show to come. Keep in mind, Dan will be here till just about 7:45. So if you have a car care kind of question, call it in or text it in before Dan takes his leave. 651-989-9226. Same number for the text. So call in your question or text it in. We'll grab them as we move through this morning. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. If you need to find these great guys there, you are located exactly where?
We are exactly at 982 Grand Avenue, right in the heart of Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call. I'm sure Nick is there this morning,
okay.
Actually, at 651-228-1316.
Very good. And Dan will be here for, about another 15, 20 minutes or so. If you have a car care question, don't wait. Call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226. Always like to visit. Not only is it fun going to Lloyd's, but there, I was just thinking about that great Grand Avenue. I mean, you have not only a lot of shops there, but it's not like a mall, nothing against malls, but it's like a neighborhood. With nice shops,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You know, I've noticed that's kind of the up-and-coming way that the things that are attractive to us, to people, is, you know, I've noticed Grand Avenue, 50th in France.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, good. That's
Grand in St. Louis Park, and they're open air and being developed, and seems to be the way to go.
Yeah.
It's popular. People, and everybody wants to live there.
I'm glad you brought that up, because those areas are great,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, I was looking at a text message. Here's a couple of them here. By the way, call it in or text it in before Dan leaves us. Texter wants to know, are there any warning signs when a transmission might be going?
If it's still pulling itself, that's a good sign.
For starters.
Of course, the worst warning sign is it won't go anymore. But yes, I mean, there's warning signs like, is the shift timing changing, in other words, it's not shifting when it's supposed to. Is the quality of the shift changing? If when the car shifts, it hits real hard into the gear, those sorts of things are things to warning about. Or will it not get into a gear? You know, will it only go maybe 1, 2, 2, 3, and then not shift any higher than that? Those types of things. If it's starting out in the wrong gear. If it's supposed to go down into the low gear and it's not, you can tell that, you know, it's not as snappy as it was. Those are the things that you should look for.
Do you see a lot of transmission problems these over the years? I mean, is it still occurring? It would seem to me there's so many vehicles that run a long time without a bothersome transmission problem.
Yeah, well, and that's why they're able to give these long warranties, because they're easy to warranty because they don't fail very often.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they do, most often it's a bad deal. I mean, usually it's replacing it. We don't rebuild transmissions much anymore, just because there's so many of them, and you know, you can't get them really.
Yeah.
You can't get the kits to rebuild them and so forth. So we just replace them with most often manufacturer rebuilds.
All right. Hang on, Dan. We have to take a look at our forecast coming up, but we have more show to come. Dan will be here till about 7:45, so call in your car care question or send a text. Same number, 651-989-9226. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to this final few minutes of our car care show. Denny, along with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, we have callers, we have texters. Dan, let's see if we can't help folks out. Let's see. Skip is first up here. Skip, go ahead with your question. You are on CCO with Dan. Skip?
Hi, Dan. Question. I've got a Jeep 2006 Grand Cherokee, small V8. I get a check engine light that comes on. When they scope it or they put the plug into it, it says random miss. Then when you drive it, they reset it. You'll drive it a while, and it'll come back up after you drive it. It warms up when you go back into it. If you park, go drive it 10 minutes, it'll come back on. Then it'll flush out, and it comes back on. Any ideas? Is it a bad?
We missed that last part there.
He was going to say, is it a bad ignition coil? And I think that's an old enough vehicle or a new enough vehicle where it does have an ignition coil for each cylinder. And if that's the case, yes, that's probably most commonly what the problem is. The part that it says random misfire is kind of a bummer. You would prefer for it to actually identify which cylinder it is, which they can do. But if you bring it into the shop, I can put that on my computer. My computer can go, we can take it out on a test drive, and we can actually see each of the six cylinders and see which cylinder is misfiring, and then replace something as is appropriate. Most commonly, you'll find that it's a spark plug or an ignition coil causing a misfire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you, Skip. Let's go to Mound. Gene is there with a question for Dan. Go ahead, Gene. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. 2008 GMC Canyon with that straight five engine in it. The other day it ran horribly, and I checked the code, and it showed the crankshaft position sensor. Strangely enough, it cured itself, and it's been fine ever since. So my question is, those sensors sometimes have these anxiety attacks, and then they're fine again, or is it going to wreck itself here at the worst possible time in the future?
Yeah, I think you should plan ahead and have the sensor replaced for sure, and probably the connector also. And then when they're doing that, have them check, make sure that it's not all oil contaminated if oil has leaked onto it. But we've seen where the connectors are problems on that, so I would replace the connector along with it.
Okay, very good. Off we go to Monticello. I think another Gene is there. Gene, you're on CCO with Dan.
Yes, good morning. Appreciate your show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I have an older vehicle that has been sitting for 3 years, let's say. I have a friend that would like to use it, but it has the old gas in it. How do you address something like that so it doesn't cause problems, in trying to get it running?
Well, if it starts and runs on that gas, then the easiest and best thing for you to do is just burn it out of there. The gas itself will not, at this point, the gas that's in the tank will not be all chunky or, cause any future problem to the injectors or anything like that. Any of that would be going on in the injectors or in the fuel system will already be there. So, if the car starts and runs okay on that gas, then the best thing you can do is just go ahead and burn it out of there. 3 years, yeah, the gas is, probably, quotation marks, bad.
It's not
what it should be. But on the other hand, it might be just fine. I had an old Lincoln in the shop that had been sitting for about 15 years.
Wow.
And the gas smelled like turpentine. It
did
smelled
it really?
Terrible. But the car started and ran on it.
It did.
And he was able to burn that tank of gas out of there and put some gas in. Now, if the car doesn't run right or if you have trouble running it on that gas, then we certainly can drain it out of there. There's a way to use the fuel pump. Sometimes we'll drain it out using the car's fuel pump, or sometimes there's access to get something in there for some sort of pump to get the fuel out of there. Mm. But then the rest of the story is sometimes you don't even have to get it all the way empty. If you just get it down or if it is just down a half a tank, oftentimes adding new fuel to it will dilute it.
Going to dilute it, yeah.
Where it'll be fine.
Texter says this, Dan. It's a 2008 Pontiac Torrent. It says the timing cover gasket and crank are leaking. How bad is this?
Well, how long is a string?
Yeah.
that's a relative question. If it's causing a mess on your floor, if it's smelling like burning oil, if it's leaking enough to be a fire hazard, which, believe it or not, an oil leak certainly can be. An oil leak that gets back on the catalytic converter can get hard enough to ignite and be a fire hazard. So if you're not seeing any drips on the floor, if you're not smelling any burning oil, then it's probably okay. Somebody's making you alert to the fact that they see a leak, and certainly our job is to repair leaks. So we have to tell you about that. But if you're trying to just get by, if you're not seeing a puddle, then it's probably okay.
Okay. Texter, speaking of gasoline, Texter says, is a tank of 93 octane occasionally good to clean fuel systems or no value? So I assume the vehicle doesn't need 93 octane.
Yeah, certainly the gas manufacturers would certainly say that the higher octane, better quality fuel is clean. It has a cleaning property to it, and I don't know that. Perhaps that's true. I'll go back to one of my common answers: is if it makes you feel good, then you should do that. It's not that much money to add or to do that once in a while.
Yeah.
So one thing though. As long as we're on the topic of fuel and octane, if your vehicle manufacturer recommends premium fuel, especially if you have direct fuel injection, use it.
Use what the manufacturer says.
We are finding all sorts of problems with fuel injectors where people are not using premium fuel when they're supposed to, and it's causing trouble. So if you chose to buy a car that requires premium fuel, then you better use it.
All right. Let's see. Here's a 2007 Subaru Outback. I have, Texter says, a rattling sound from the rear passenger wheel area, which occurs more when I drive over road chatter. It's been happening for more than 6 months. Doesn't seem to be getting worse. I'm pretty sure it's from outside the car.
Yeah. Well, most common rattle that doesn't seem to have much of an effect on the car from your perspective would be a sway bar link. And a sway bar is a bar that goes between both of the rear wheels or both the front wheels. There's one front and rear. And it kind of connects them a little bit. In other words, it causes one wheel to respond a little bit to what the other wheel is doing. It's kind of a spring bar that they put between the two wheels. And they're connected with a link, and those links or a ball joint, and that ball joint gets loose, and that's what causes it to rattle going over bumps. So that's the most common thing to cause that.
We have to fly. We have to go. Will you be back next week?
I will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
You can give us a call at 651-228-1316. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, LLOYDS, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call. You already told you that. Give us a call.
That's okay.
We're at 982 Grand Avenue. You come on over. That's the best way. Come on over and you'll find us.
We'll see you there. Thanks, Dan. We'll see you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.